Well, welcome to you, to Parents for Gender Wholeness podcast today. My name is Bob Brennan, and Parents for Gender Wholeness exists for the purposes of helping parents who are dealing with children, who are sorting through gender issues, and our focus is to help you as parents navigate that process with your child and to bring about healing for your child and your family. And today we're focusing on the topic of the journey of faith through gender development. And the focus of this is really to identify, at least for one person that we're interviewing today, Steve Goebel, the kind of spiritual journey that he took on, both before embracing same-sex attraction and during and after, so that you as parents can get an idea of what is possible. And this is an issue that I've connected with, related to many parents, and certainly valid concern for their child in terms of what happens when they, if they do embrace same-sex attraction or the transgendered feelings, they do embrace that and pursue that, what happens to their faith, really? And many of them, of course, because of your good work as parents in exposing them to the things of God and faith in general, there's this foundation in them. And so suddenly it seems like when they begin to embrace these things, for a lot of parents, it seems to go away, or it seems as though they kind of turn their back on God, and then what's going to happen. So there's a lot of concern for parents about what does go on for their child, and even to the degree of do they lose their salvation or this kind of thing. And so we're beginning to address this issue with the start of that today with the podcast. And I'm interviewing Steve Goebel, who's a longtime friend and ministry partner. We've known each other for many years and are really brothers in the Lord and friends, and our families are friends of each other's as well. So we know each other quite well. And yet I'm going to be interviewing Steve today from the standpoint of kind of not knowing a lot about him, so that you can get to know him and know his journey. So thanks, Steve, for jumping in today and being willing to do this and to help parents.
I'm glad to be here, Bob.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and jump right into the questions and see what Steve has to say about his journey. So let's just start out, Steve, with that first awareness, at least, that you had of receiving the Lord as your Savior. Are you aware of kind of what age that happened at and maybe how that happened?
Well, my journey with the Lord was a little complicated because I was a confused little boy because of various things in my life, family dynamics, gender confusion from an early age, feeling like I was a little girl trapped in a little boy's body. Didn't know where to go with that. So there was a lot of confusion in my little soul. At 7 years old, at a Bible school, I went forward and prayed to receive Jesus into my heart. And at some level, he became my friend. I knew he was always my friend, especially the loving way that my parents and, people in the church embraced me. I was fortunate in that. I did have a dynamic in me called a good boy. And I heard about sin, but I didn't understand sin because I was a good boy. So I was into a performance mentality, getting good grades and being perfectionistic and pleasing my parents. So all this was happening around this time of my salvation, of being a good boy, inordinately tied to my mother, had a fear of abandonment, of displeasing parents. So I was sort of paralyzed and confused at that early age. But that initial seed got planted, I think, as I prayed to receive Jesus. Again, I considered him my friend, but and at one point, because I didn't know exactly what sin is, I prayed for the Lord to show me my sin, and he agreed, yes, I will show you your sin. So that's been a lifetime of becoming aware of the sin in my life and repenting and receiving grace. So, and that sort of sums up that early idea that Jesus is my friend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, there was just really a very solid kind of accepting of the Lord in your life, and you experienced him kind of mostly as your friend, but also the person that frees you from sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should probably say that I was so preoccupied with myself because of all this confusion that I didn't reach out to him. You know, I really tried to do life my own way apart from him. Again, resorting to him when I needed to, but I was like any sinner. I was taken in by love of self and self-orientation, lack of trust in God, doing it my way. So this is what I experienced in those early years of being perfectionistic, doing it my way, not inviting Jesus into my life.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk, Steve, about preoccupation with yourself, can you describe that a little bit more? Was that a sense of just needing to sort of be focused on yourself all the time to kind of emotionally survive? Or, you know, can you describe that a little bit?
I think what you just said, focused on myself to survive, because of all the confusion in my soul and this need to be a good boy. And, you know, because of the dynamics with my parents, that didn't help. Because they fostered this good boy kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. So they weren't into blessing the little boy in me that was alive and vigorous. And, you know, I became sort of into my head and wanting to please people, wanting especially to please my parents. So, yeah, I think my development got stunted at some level because of that good boy mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just to add to that, you know, this preoccupation with self and especially being the good boy, this is not the true Steve, right? This is not the true self, but rather this is something that a child puts on in order to find favor, to be accepted by their parents, to accept themselves. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So this already becomes, you know, in our, when we talk about development, this already becomes kind of a distortion of your development, kind of going off in a unhealthy direction. In mm-hmm. needing to develop what we call this sort of false self.
Yes.
Okay. And so the next question about really kind of relationship with God in those early years, I think you spoke a little bit about it already, but it sounds like even the relationship with God was kind of like this good boy, and still much like your relationship maybe with your parents of you know, performing well, that kind of thing. Would that describe it, or is it different than that?
That would accurately describe it. I was wanting to be perfect in every way, and mm-hmm. I didn't really accept the less perfect parts of myself. So, yeah, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of striving and a lot of lack of grace in my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Steve, how many years would you say after you received Christ did you become aware of the same-sex attraction?
Well, as I mentioned, early in my early years, I became aware of this confusion in my soul of not being settled into my boyness. And then probably in my later childhood, I became attracted to other boys, looking for that golden friend that could complete me somehow. And I think the gender confusion started early before this decision to accept Christ, and then the desire to find that golden friend, you know, started in my later childhood.
Okay.
And I was also mesmerized by the male physique. You know, I became idolatrous for that. And again, you know, yeah, it was a slow evolving, but over the years I became more and more idolatrous towards other males.
Okay. And approximately what age would you say that that really began to start up for you in terms of that awareness?
I think maybe like late childhood, early teens. But the gender confusion was the bedrock, you know, the lack of resolve in being a boy. So.
Right. Okay. All right. So when you became aware of this attraction, how did you sort of pursue that, in a sense that this attraction tends to kind of call people into relationships, same-sex relationships? How did that happen for you?
Okay. Well, I, like I said, you know, regarding my schoolwork, I was a straight A student. I was salutatorian in my college class. I went on to get a master's degree, did a master's thesis. But during my period of graduate school at UNC Chapel Hill, I had a real like despair kind of thing came over me. You know, like, is this all there is? And, but the Lord, you know, heartened me and gave me hope. I read a scripture, Isaiah 43:1-3, about the Lord being with us as we go through the waters, as we go through the fire. And anyway, that stirred me to hold on. So, shortly after that, I got my first job after graduate school teaching high school. In an urban high school, and it was very stressful. And I started looking at another man across the street, and we started connecting. And at that point, we started a relationship which lasted 16 years, a sexual relationship. So,
Okay. So at that point, when this relationship is getting underway, are you aware of kind of what's happening with that relationship with God? Most young people or people entering into these kinds of relationships, it's a real demarcation point because it's actually kind of pursuing that same-sex attraction. And yet you also had this background of faith and knowing the Lord as your friend and so forth. And so this becomes an important demarcation because most young people are aware that God is not ordain or have as a purpose these kinds of same-sex relationships. So what went on in you, are you aware of, that allowed you to go into this relationship in terms of dealing with God?
Well, I can remember hearing from God, I can remember consciously deciding to put God on the back burner. My partner and I both felt some discomfort about it at first, And but then we decided, well, we're going to put God on the back burner. We're going to do it anyway. So I consciously put God on the back burner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like he was there. You were aware he was there. You were not completely disconnecting from him or turning away from him per se, but you were putting him on the back burner, sort of like the things of God would be in the background. They'd be there, but they'd be in the background so that you could pursue the same-sex relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right. I continued to attend church during this season, off and on, not wholeheartedly, but sort of mm-hmm. half-heartedly going to church, because I knew if I ever gave up on the, I would be lost forever. So mm-hmm. I just felt like if I don't, at least at some level, continue with God in my life, I will harden my heart so that it'll be too late. Mm-hmm. So I did attend church during this time, and I did hear, I heard testimonies of people who are working through their same-sex issues during this season. Mm-hmm. And our church had a ministry called Living Waters, which invites people of all sexual and relational issues to work through their issues through prayer and discipleship and process. So I surrounded myself with these individuals. And so, yeah, but I did not fully engage with it until later.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned that you heard some testimonies of people who had been dealing with same-sex attraction. And I assume that that was people who are dealing with it in terms of healing and so forth. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. And how did that affect you, do you think, during that time?
Yeah. Well, I resented the fact that people were acknowledging that they could change, because I didn't mm-hmm. want to change. I really liked my sin. You know, I had gotten everything I'd wanted, you know, this self-orientation. I finally got what I wanted. But I resented those who were on this healing path for a period. And mm-hmm. then the Lord started working in me a holy discontent that there's got to be more than this. Because I had everything I wanted, but I found myself more and more sexually addicted, more and more eroticizing relationships, more and more, you know, not having healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. And that spurred me to seek healing, because I knew I was becoming more and more hardened in my sin, and that I really wanted release from it, at least at some level. I was a double-minded man. I love my sin, but I didn't want to, and I realized it was binding me, but I did not want to give it up because I mm-hmm. love my sin. So I was in a bind there for a period.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So as you're getting into this relationship and you're dealing with kind of these issues of God, were you aware of how God might be looking at what you're doing?
Well, yeah, I got a sense that I was settling for less than what he has for me, that I was not trusting him, not trusting him for the long haul, because I, you know, I'd gotten everything I wanted. I had become, you know, I had gotten to live in San Francisco. I had gotten to have a partner, relative stability, good job. But it just wasn't enough. It was, you know, my essential self had not become developed. I was becoming increasingly immature, stunted, and lacking in masculinity. So, it just wasn't where I wanted to go. And then I saw these individuals who were on a transformation path, a healing path, and I saw the life in them coming forth and their testimonies, and it wasn't easy for them, but it was fulfilling. And I thought, okay, at a certain point, I really want to get on this path. And then around that time, I decided to leave this partner of 16 years and pursue transformation in Jesus Christ, taking sanctification seriously, and giving up the idolatry and giving up the selfishness and self-orientation and the lack of trust in God and going deeper with Him. And it was a real process, but I'm amazed to see how God worked in that and brought healthy influences around me and brought me into a church that encouraged transformation. And so it was just a blessing. It is a blessing to look back on how God did that.
You're really suggesting that, you know, He really drew you into that. It wasn't something you were forced into or even sort of guilted yourself into.
Correct. Exactly. I wasn't guilted into it. I just was discontented with the way things were. I mean, what I was becoming, rather than a character of Christ in me, it was a homosexual character that was developing. And I started taking seriously Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And another verse that I started taking more seriously, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And, you know, as I was in this process, I was finding more life. And the hope stirred in me and I persevered in it. You know, it requires a lot of persevering because there's ups and downs and life is not easy. And I think that's what stumbles a lot of people, to expect life to be easy. And it's not for anybody. But the Lord is sufficient, and I found Him in that, those challenges, and as I persevered.
Okay. So during the time when you're in this relationship, if I would have asked you during that time, are you saved? Do you have salvation in the Lord? What do you think that your perspective of that would have been at that time?
I would probably be conflicted about it because I had taken on a gay identity. So my gay identity was probably stronger than my identity in Christ. So I would be conflicted about it because I was not able to mix those two. Once I became more invested in my sanctification, then I could truly say, yes, I am all in. So it became more clear that I was following the Lord. But up till that time, I was doing it my way and trying to follow Jesus too, and it just wasn't mixing.
Okay. And it sounds like as this transformation is going on in you, as you're getting healed and that kind of thing, you're really moving into new experiences that you'd never realized in the past. In other words, for a man who has, or a woman who has same-sex attraction, they cannot sort of often imagine anything differently than that.
Yes.
Because they're so entrenched in it in most cases. When you started to go through this healing for you, was this something completely new that you had never experienced and yet very real?
Well, I had not. My heart was so splintered up to a certain point that I was settling for less, and I was reveling in settling for less. So to shift gears into hoping in what God has for me was a real transition. And I think a major one was leaving this partner. I was really, I'd invested a lot in time, energy, and money, and to leave that partner, have separate housing, was a real investment in the process. And I also did therapy that helped me sort out a lot of who I am. then my church had the Toronto Blessing about the time that I left my partner. I would go to church and just feel really loved by the Lord, at an emotional, spiritual level. And so it thawed me out. My old hardened, crusty sin nature got softened up a bit during the Toronto Blessing in my church.
And can you explain just a little bit what the Toronto Blessing was for those who may not know about it?
Yeah, it was a period of a special anointed time in the church, our church in San Francisco, and it was throughout the country in different churches, where the Holy Spirit just visited and manifested in lives and, did some major heart change in people. And our church in San Francisco was open to the Toronto Blessing, and I remember going to our prayer services and just shaking because my whole being needed to be unsettled because I'd become so encrusted and entrenched in my sin. So, and it happened around the time that I left this partner. And around that time, I started therapy. And around that time, I became fully engaged in Living Orders and the ministry program. And the Lord started surrounding me with various individuals who could help me in this process of becoming a healthier man. So,
Okay. Wow. All right. So you moved into this process of healing, and there's a lot of changes that were going on. You seem to be aware of sort of this hardness of your heart leaving. So for anyone who's going through this, whether it's same-sex attraction or the transgendered issue, do you believe that any person can experience potentially this kind of change that you went through?
Yes. But it's spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. So those who do not take a fighting stance against the whisperings of the enemy and the pull of the world, the flesh and the devil in our lives, which is every Christian's fight. Mm-hmm. If there's not a fighting stance, if there's a capitulation, to the world, the flesh, and the devil, then they're probably not going to leave it. But if they engage with a fighting stance and persevere daily and die to self daily, I don't think a person can do anything but change as we persevere through life's challenges. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Steve.
The process of confessing and repenting on a regular basis, in my quiet time as well as with trusted brothers and sisters in Christ, I became a life practice in keeping things in the light rather than keeping them in the dark. I mean, it is a long process of being sanctified. It's lifelong, and confessing and repenting and experience freedom from our sin is ongoing. So it's not a one-time done deal. But slowly over time we change and we become more like the Lord as we persevere.
Okay. And as you're going through this transformation, and even I suppose today, it sounds like a lot of that sort of noise, confusion, those issues we talked about earlier on that were kind of consuming you. Was that part of getting those resolved, your healing process? Did that resolve some of those things?
Yeah, like the gender confusion is just no more. I mean, I had worked through it and resolved, and just doing male things, becoming more at home in my maleness, that resolved over time. It wasn't a quick fix, but it did happen over years. And, the sexual addiction part, I'm definitely not as drawn to images on the computer like I used to be. I'm definitely not drawn into, sexual encounters with people as I used to be. I'm definitely in accountability, regular accountability with pastor and brothers in Christ and my wife. So it's been a process, but it's very rewarding and very fulfilling. But again, it takes a fighting posture because it is spiritual warfare. The enemy would delight nothing in keeping us bound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even in light of that, it sounds like the enemy is just really happy to partner with people who want to sustain that lifestyle and brokenness, I guess you could say, woundedness, mm-hmm. And how that manifests itself in same-sex attraction.
Yes.
So people have to make a very clear decision to pursue God and to be free from that, even mm-hmm. though they're not aware of what that's going to look like or how they're going to feel. They really can't make the choice based on that. They've got to decide that it's something, it's their life. It's worth living for to do that.
Yes, definitely. Mm. And it's not about, our feelings get healed in this process, but it's, mm-hmm. The feelings are slow to heal. Mm-hmm. As we persevere in spiritual warfare, our emotions, our spirit, our body, all of us heals as we make those healthy choices. And it's a fight, and we don't do it perfectly. That's why mm-hmm. we need to experience grace along the way. When we fall down, we need to confess to brothers and get back up again and get back on the trail again rather than go off the rails. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a process of persevering more than anything.
Yes, and it sounds like, I guess the world would like to think in sort of absolutes in a sense that sort of when you're healed of this or it's changed, it's all perfect and everything's in order. But that's not really that's not really reality in terms of what healing looks like. Would you agree?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, but in the process, we know joy mm-hmm. of embracing our challenges, living through our challenges, being transparent. We know joy. Giving up and capitulating does not bring joy. I mean, I know that from personal experience, from years of trying to make it happen. But joy just doesn't come about apart mm-hmm. from the Lord and persevering in
yes.
Him.
Mm. Okay. Well, Steve, I really appreciate the way that you allowed the Lord to lead you back to Him and to heal you. And you're certainly a testimony to God's goodness and how transformation can happen and how a person can be healed and go on to live a very fulfilling life, whether that's with in your case, it's with an opposite sex partner, but it doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. But you are really a testimony to that. And I really appreciate your persistence and your determination and your willingness to do that fight and to stay in it. So I really appreciate that about you.
Thank you. Yeah, I would just encourage parents to continue to love their children and pray for their children. I have fond memories of my parents. They weren't perfect parents, but I remember that they loved me. And I also remember in the church the love that surrounded me when I was not walking in a healthy way, living with this partner, et cetera. I remember people loved me and cared for me and wanted to engage with me. And because of that, I had enough resources to make some major life change. And I think God's kindness through others led me to repentance. I wanted more life because of the love that I had been given from others. So, yeah, I just encourage parents to continue to love and pray, and when openness is there, to speak into their children's life. But again, that's a sensitive place, you know, to speak words of truth in the appropriate time.
Okay. So, I mean, you're really emphasizing the loving parents, loving their children. And this ultimately has an influence over their journey, right? Even with the Lord, as opposed to parents controlling or just believing, really, I guess, that they can change or control this gender issue within their children. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Okay. Only the Lord knows the right timing and the right situation of the person's heart. So, yeah, all we can do is love and pray, and when the timing is right, speak truth.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, Steve, again for your contribution today, and I'm sure that you've helped a lot of parents in understanding their son or daughter or other family members' journey and what it can be. So we appreciate your input. And Steve has allowed us to disclose to you contact information for him, for you as parents, if you wanted to talk with him personally or get more input. He's available at the following email address, which is globalmentoring@gmail.com. That's spelled G-O-B-L-E. mentoring@gmail.com. And he will be happy to talk with you and support you in whatever questions you may have, or if you're wanting even some clarity on what you've heard today as a part of this podcast. Well, that's it for today. We've talked about the journey of faith through gender development and what that can look like, even for one person. There are many, many more testimonies of men and women who have gone through a similar journey of Steve's, who are in that process, continuing that process of healing and transformation, and are experiencing the fulfillment and the love of God in these very real ways. So we want you to know that's possible. And that because a child is involved with embracing same-sex attraction or the transgendered feelings, it does not mean that God is lost from their life. And so we want to bring that to you through this testimony today for Steve. So that's it for today in this podcast. And we bless you all as parents. If you need assistance or need more information, please feel free to contact us through the website at Parents for Gender Wholeness. So until next time, God bless you, and please know that there's always hope for you and your family.